And welcome to another edition of Running Flat Radio. I'm Chris Uzinski, and thanks for joining us on this kind of rebirth of Running Flat Radio. Over 1,000 downloads from the last week's episode, which was the first one I've done in 3 years. And thanks for all the positive feedback. And yeah, you know what? It's tough coming back. I think all of us, in one way or another, have had to start all over again in our lives, a number of different things that we were passionate about. I most recently am starting this back up, plus I'm also starting back up running. So I'm doing, I don't know, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, Sundays, you know, 5K with my neighbor. And, there are no goals. I got to tell you, we just go out, we talk, and we have a lot of fun, and it's great socializing. And it's just the goal of just being healthy. Maybe losing some of my COVID 50 or whatever you want to call it these days, and we'll see what happens. But thanks for all the feedback. And this show is kind of all about running. This show is all about endurance. And one of the unique things that we're doing is kind of profiling different people. You know, Dean Karnazes is going to come on in a couple of weeks about his new book, and we're gonna have all kinds of different runners from around the world kind of chirping in. But the idea is that every runner has a story. All of you have a story, and it's a story of overcoming being overweight. It's a story of overcoming injury. It's a story of overcoming just trying to find your mental center, and running was it for you. So we talk about all those things on this show throughout the year, and like I told you, it's not going to be totally scheduled, but it's going to come on hopefully weekly. And I welcome you to download and subscribe to wherever you're listening to this on podcast, or we're on YouTube on the Running Flat channel, and we're also on Facebook Live. So thanks for joining us today. So a couple things I want to get to before I get to my guest, who's a dear old friend of mine, Steve Fleck. We're going to talk a little bit about Canada Day. Now, Canada Day is the only race that we are doing this year, and it is open. And the reason for that is last year we couldn't do Canada Day because there was just a logistical nightmare happening in North America between product coming in and then, of course, the backlogs of product going out in regional distribution centers for UPS, FedEx, Canada Post, USPS. Everybody had these problems kind of regionally. So we decided we were going to cancel Canada Day. And so this year we are doing Canada Day, but because of the uncertainty of what's happening in and especially in Ontario with doing live events, we've decided to go 100% virtual. So your support is greatly appreciated for the work we're doing here. And as you can see, this year's medal, we have chosen nurses to be our Great Canadian on the Great Canadian Medal. And that, of course, is a medal that, you know, we've seen Commander Chris Hadfield on it. We've seen Terry Fox on that medal. We've seen Sir John A. Macdonald and Wayne Gretzky. And, it's just it's our way of saying thank you and honoring the nurses and healthcare workers everywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. I know you guys are giving it your all. So go to runningflat.com, click on the Canada Day icon there, and for sure take a look at it, and we'll mail all those packages to you, and wishing everybody a happy Canada Day. So we'll come back to that near the end of the show. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but I'd like to bring in an old friend of mine, Steve Fleck, who, you know, we've been in the running industry for a lot of years. We've known each other. You've been my go-to guy, my lean-to guy on triathlon because, you know, you're the voice of Ironman here in Canada, and you do so much work, and you're a triathlete yourself and married to a triathlete as well. So, I mean, you know, you've always been like my kind of go-to guy for that. And we periodically kind of schedule a call back and forth of like, you know, what do you think's going on, and this is kind of that call, except it's public. We got people listening and watching. So Steve, how have you been?
Oh, Chris, first of all, it's an honor to be a part of your comeback, like on the airwaves. So I feel honored and privileged to be with you here on Running Flat Radio. I've been a guest a number of times in the past and previous iterations of Running Flat Radio. So yeah, an honor to be back with you today. How have I been? Oh, yeah. It has been a year like no other, Chris, in the endurance sports race and events business. I don't need to tell you that. You're as immersed in it as I have. Just over a year ago, March, the whole world shut down. And not just running, cycling, and triathlon races and events, but all live events all around the world, just like completely canceled, shut down. And we've seen little sort of glimmers of, you know, hope sort of along the way. And it's the classic sort of, you know, two steps forward, three steps back. And we're kind of in that space now. But that's kind of doom and gloom. But, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. I truly think that by next spring, so i.e. a year from now, in spring of 2022, live events, and that includes, you know, endurance sports races, events, running, cycling, triathlon, etc., I think we might be starting, if not back fully to normal. But that means we're still a year away. So I don't know if that's a good news story or a bad news story.
No, and I have exactly the same opinion. My schedule's not off. I mean, I've been talking about it for a long time that we would see some stuff happening fall of 2021 and then really kind of fully back into large scale running events by 2022, as long as the science and, you know, and you know, everything else matches, which is the issue, right? Is the health units and local breakouts and flare ups, you know, of COVID. And they're clamped down on localized regions. I mean, we're presently in the middle of an announcement that Ontario is going to go into a lockdown for 4 weeks, a stay-at-home order. So it'd be interesting to see exactly what that means as it kind of boils down to, you know, stores or, you know, does that mean, you know, everything is shut down? Where are we at? So we're going to get through that. But, you know, more importantly, it's just been such a dramatic halt in our industry, in the entertainment industry. Any kind of live event industry, parades, everything just came to a grinding halt. And it's really quite incredible to see what I think I've seen in the background of, you know, guys who have multi-million dollar rigs that go out with acts, you know, that are leased every year to go to different arenas. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, there's no arena shows. There's a lot of atrocities that have happened in the last year. And I'm gonna talk about this just for a second. Lots of people have died. Lots of friends have been sick, and lots of people are still recovering. And I'm not gonna belittle any of that. What I am getting at is just how the insurance companies have walked away from us as an endurance industry. Every one of my events last year had cancellation insurance. As soon as the WHO said it's a pandemic, it triggered. You know, that, oh, we don't have to cover anything. So canceling races, we bought coverage for that, not covered. So, you know, and the insurance companies walked away from all of us. And, you know, I think that's still something that we as an industry have to reckon with. If you're going to sell insurance, then we demand that, you know, you're going to start covering. You can't just say, no, we're just not going to cover that. So,
well, the scope of this, Chris, is truly, you know, gigantic when you include all live events. And I know you have, you know, feet in the music business and music world as well. And the anecdote I share with people is the sound company that supplies rehearsal and sometimes concert equipment to the, you know, acts in the UK, like the Rolling Stones, U2, they operate at that, you know, at that sort of level. I mean, that, normally that's a license to print money. Oh, the Stones need sound equipment. You know, here, $1 million, you're good to go. That company had to file for bankruptcy like last fall because they have all these massive warehouses all over the UK. Yep. To sort of store all this equipment. So they have enormous, you know, hard costs ongoing to sort of store the sound equipment when it's not in use. And now it's in permanent storage. They're leasing the space. Landlords are saying they want their money. And I heard that the Stones actually had to personally bail this company out. So I yeah. cite that story as an example of the scope of this, because, you know, our little niche world in endurance sports is a small little sort of corner, right, of the live events business. But the scope of this is truly sort of massive, and it's a story that doesn't really get told enough. And until people go, I think, a full year without this, and now potentially a full second year, I think the impact is starting to come home to roost with people that, oh my God, like I'm actually missing doing the Canada Day, you know, run with, yeah, you know, with my friends, you know, in Windsor for the second year.
Yeah, and you're so right about that. So we had four warehouses. We went down to two locally here in the Windsor area. And to be honest with you, I thought I was a really smart business guy at one time. And I've learned that I'm really not, admittedly. And, you know, because we would take all of our profits from our races and purchase gear. So, you know, 80 sets of speakers, you know, we refuse to rent audio gear. Let's just own it, and then we'll just travel with it, and then we'll use it. You know, that's a really good example, or Barricade, and our own timing rig, for instance, for three mats or for three start finishes. And, you know, when you look at these massive assets that we've built into our company, and then all of a sudden so we're thinking, oh, this is great, right? So we already own everything. But now when everything's get turned off, now you got to pay for all the housing of all that gear.
Yep.
You know, and it's really been a shock, business-wise as a company, right? Because you got to pay all those taxes and everything else and you got no revenue. So it's just been one of those years, which is going to continue for another year.
And I think that's part of the, I don't know, misunderstanding is probably too strong a word, Chris, because, Apple doesn't ask people to know the inner workings of, you know, how they manufacture their right. mobile devices, or Samsung or any of those companies. But in our business, in the endurance sports race and events business, and it's probably the same for the music sort of concert business too, is that the ticket revenue, the participant revenue, is absolutely critical and key. People see the big sponsors, they see Scotiabank or, you know, RBC or a car company or an insurance company sponsoring races. And they think, oh, well, they're paying for all of this, right? The participants pay, you know, the business model numbers, 80% to 90% the hard cost to put these races and events on. So no races and events, no participants, no revenue, no business. I mean, it's really that simple in terms of how abruptly this whole thing ground to a halt and put so many businesses in this space and the extended live event space into a really precarious situation.
Yeah, it is. And so, you know, we usually don't peel the curtain back and talk about this and, you know, there it's done. Okay. The uncomfortableness is finished. I think what's really important is moving forward that we put our best foot forward. And I think it's important that when I look at this year is really going to be the year of the small race. It's the year of the community race. It's the year that those community races that get 60 people, 70, 80, 100, 120 people, that they flourish, and they got to put on the best event that they could ever put on, because they're the opening salvo to all of us coming back. And what's going to happen is they need to look at everything they do operationally. Is it a 5K? If it's a 5K, then measure it. It can't be like 4.8. It can't be like 5.5. Can't be, I had a race director tell me once that he's got the fastest half marathon in the world. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. How's that? He goes, it's only 20K. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, that's the most disingenuous thing I've ever heard in endurance. You know, you have to, your reputation is based on what's the length of your race, right? So everyone gets a record time. Yeah, they get a record time because they ran 1.1 kilometers less than they should have. So that's really important. Getting a professional announcer, producing the event like it's a great live event. Make sure you have a great shirt and a great medal or a great giveaway and some interesting swag at the end, and engage those participants, because those are the ones that are going to raise you a ton of cash, because it's all pent-up demand. They want to do it. There's races in the States with 100 people netting $100,000 U.S. to charities right now. You know, charities need to wake up, start planning. Even though there's a shutdown, start planning and get that stuff in for this summer.
Yeah, I think you're right. This year, once we get past the current situation we're in Ontario, we've seen this, in the U.S. where they are a little bit ahead of us, I think. Some states a little bit more sort of open-minded about this. We're starting to see, smaller races and events come back. I don't think we're going to see the huge sort of big city marathons with multiple, tens of thousands of people before the end of this year in the U.S., or Canada for that matter. But you might see, 100, 200 person event. Local organizers might be able to get a permit. And to your point, Chris, I think we need to keep the conversation on the positive. These are really important events in smaller communities in Canada. We get a little bit jaded if we live in a larger sort of metro area and, the 10K or the half marathon, not a big deal. But you go to smaller communities in Ontario or elsewhere in Canada, that local 5K run or the 10K run or the Grand Fondo sort of fundraising bike ride that they have on, that might be the biggest event that happens in that community in terms of numbers in any given year.
Yeah.
So it's really important to think about the community aspects of it, of this, the volunteerism, you know, the people coming out and helping out on the sidelines. And yeah, there's going to be some safety issues and some, you know, reluctance for people to come back. But I think it behooves us, in the business, and you had pointed on that, to make sure that we have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, the courses are measured, all the right, you know, protocols are in place for, you know, COVID-19 yep. protocols, pandemic protocols, be it social distancing, hand sanitizing stations, whatever. All the good race directors, as you've probably figured all that out already. You're highly organized people, very sophisticated with operations and logistics, and you've got it all sorted out. So we as a business, we need to prove that to the municipalities, the permit holders to give us the permits for these smaller events. And I agree with you that these are going to be the testing events mm-hmm. to allow us to do something bigger next year.
Right. And these are also the test events for the municipalities, because they're going to put new protocols in place based on what's happening now. So put your best foot forward, charities. You know, call us, you know, find us, chris@runningflat.com. Like just reach out to anyone who's in the industry right now to help you through this and make sure that you've got the right checklist and that you got everything going in the right direction. Now, you, during all of this, gone together with a number of people and founded an association in Canada. Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to talk about that, Chris. It is the Canadian Endurance Sports Alliance, and it is a trade or sort of industry association group. But I mean, it doesn't really have that much important to participants, other than the fact that we are advocating for the whole of the endurance sports race and events business in the country, you know, collectively. So this is all running races, all triathlons, all cycling races and events across the country. We estimate that in any given year, and these are the big picture numbers, this is the sort of the snapshot from 8,000 meters, if you will, up in the air, is that we have over 2.5 million participants in Canada, that collectively the industry generates about $1 billion in economic impact from coast to coast across the country in all the various communities, large cities, small communities, where these types of races and events go on. And here's the big one, this is normally what gets people's attention, is collectively involved in raising nearly $1 billion in charitable funds in every given calendar year. So most mid to large size charities, Chris, have hitched their wagon or made the focus, or is their number one fundraising event in a given calendar year, a run, a walk, a bike ride, standalone events that are quite well known, like the CIBC Run for the Cure or the Terry Fox Runs or the Ride to Conquer Cancer, et cetera, the Ride for Heart sort of in Toronto, 17,000 riders. Or they hitch their wagons with an existing, you know, running, cycling or triathlon race or event. But the fact of the matter is, $1 billion in charitable funds raised, only a small fraction of that was raised this last year and will be raised this year through the smaller events that are being put on, or the virtual events that some of the events are endeavoring to put on as well.
Yeah, the industry as a whole is hurting. There's no doubt. I mean, from the charities to the producers to our suppliers, you know, our suppliers of medals and shirts and all of our gear. I kind of equate this with people all the time, that it's either feast or it's famine. You know, someone actually had the, I wouldn't say audacity, they were just really ignorant towards what I did. And they went to me and they said, you know, I've been working overtime and it's been great, you know, and all we're doing is pocketing money, and I can't even get to Florida to, you know, to rent my house this year. And it's just, you know, I got nowhere to spend my money and I went, okay, that's great. That's great news. Thank you very much. But you know what? It's just people need to be aware of their surroundings. You also need to be aware of what's been going on and be able to kind of support the endurance industry as we slowly, very slowly come back from all of this.
Well, it's not an essential business, Chris. People
No.
need to understand that, and we're not, you know, anti-science or anti-mask or, and even now, I mean, talking about race or events coming back, we're just about to head into, in Ontario, for example, as you mentioned previously, more severe shutdowns and lockdowns. So
Right.
to be advocating for, you know, to open up and have races and events right now is completely counter to the sort of the mood of the public and what the governments that be, you know, are doing. So what we're all about is we are about those things that I mentioned before. We're about community. We're about health and fitness. We're about mental health. We're about setting goals. I mean, it's the other thing we found is that once people don't have that race or event down the road that they're training for, their motivation tends to wane a little to a lot. A lot of people wrestle on this spectrum from internal motivation to external motivation. External motivators are motivated by the race or event itself. Internal motivators are motivated by their own desire to get out the door and do something sort of every day. And people rest on a continuum. There's no right or wrong here. But the fact of the matter is a lot of people do skew towards that sort of external end of the spectrum. And once that race or event is canceled or not on the schedule, they lose their desire to, you know, get out the door and train.
It's
and
tough.
That's a problem.
It's tough. What do you see happening in triathlon as they come out of this?
Well, triathlon is just, it's all the same. It really doesn't matter, you know, what it is, triathlon, running, cycling. Triathlon might have a couple of things going for it. And you know this, Chris, is the events tend to be smaller in terms of people number. So, you know, a large triathlon in Ontario is 500 people. We've got some that are pushing 1,000. The Barrelman Triathlon in Welland, Niagara Falls, that's put on by Multisport Canada, is the largest event in the province, and it's just over 1,000 people. They have about 1,100, 1,200 in total in that. It's actually the largest non-Ironman branded
right.
half Ironman distance
yeah,
event
cause
in North America.
There's Ironman,
yeah,
and then there's everything else. So when we talk about triathlon, really what I'm talking about is the smaller community ones that you'll find like 2 to 3 in your community every year.
So those events actually might have a better chance of going on
right.
because they can socially spread people out at the start, and the swim is a natural kind of spreader. So as long as once you get the people out in the water and they're swimming away, they're going to be coming out with, you know, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 15 seconds, a minute sort of gap between each one. And then they're out on the bike and they may do the whole bike ride and, you know, barely see another person, and they're sort of spaced the same way, you know, on the run. So triathlon is kind of organically set up for smaller numbers, like, you know, maybe 100 people, 200 people to be put on. But really, we're going to be beholden to both provincial, you know, gathering guidelines.
Of course.
And then as you well know, you know, dealing with municipalities, the municipalities issuing the permits about whether you can actually put the racer event on the public roads or in the parks where you want to put them on.
Yeah, I had the honor of talking to a number of municipalities yesterday, just as a heads up. You know, it was the beginning of the month, saying, "Hey, what's going on? Like, what are you guys seeing?" And they're like, "Oh, we were planning a whole bunch of community events and parks around the municipality. You know, smaller little events." And, you know, we just got word, you know, to put a halt on everything. And it's like, it was just so disappointing to everyone in that office who had been kind of waiting for that. Oh, you know, that it's warming up and, you know, we may, you know, people are getting vaccinated. We may see the end of this. And, you know, it really is 3 steps backwards. So, you know, my hearts go out to everybody who's in that, because everyone wants the best to happen. We all want to get out of this. We all want to work together, you know, to do this. No, some people don't. Some people want to protest and not wear masks and have fun. And we've pretty much given up our business for this. If anyone should be crying and screaming, it should be the endurance industry, and we're not. We're respecting, you know, our communities that you know, we respectfully borrow their roads and borrow their parks from, and we want to be great community partners moving forward.
I think the good news, Chris, is when we get to the other side of this, so when we get into next year, we get into 2022, 2023, I think we're going to see a really nice sort of bump up in terms of participation numbers. As you know well, participation numbers in running, cycling and triathlon, and you're most intimate with running, but cycling and triathlon have been the same. They've been trending slightly down for the last, 5 to 7 years. Probably peaked in North America collectively, US and Canada, I would say around 2012, 2013. So for the
Sure.
last 5 to 7 years, it hasn't been massive. There hasn't been a huge drop, but it's just been gradually trending down. Those Running USA numbers would say, oh, running's down 1%, sort of 2%. So not noticeable in any way, but not growing. Like, let's be clear, it wasn't a participatory activity that was booming in any way. You might read an article. I remember reading an article in the New York Times that, 2 years ago that said triathlon was booming, and it's not booming. It
No.
was sort of in decline. So the good news is, when we get to the other side of this, combination of the pent-up demand that you've sort of hinted at, and a lot of newcomers. We've seen a lot of people, your community is probably no different than mine, a lot of people out on a bike for the first time. They've
Yeah.
pulled that bike out of the garage. It's been sitting in the back of their garage since the 1990s, pumped up the tires, and they're out riding around in the park or on the streets. And we welcome them. We'd love for them to come out to a charity bike ride or a Grand Fondo, or same with the running, same with the walking. People who have they've been forced into that because gyms are closed. So the silver lining is they're out running on the streets, they're walking on the streets, and they're more engaged, like in their local communities. Maybe they'll come out and sign up for a local running race this year, or hopefully in years, coming up. And I think we might see a nice little boom, in numbers, which is a silver lining and a good news story. But, as I said, we still have to get there to sort of experience that.
Yeah, and how can people get more information about the Canadian Endurance Alliance and other information on how they can help out or be involved?
Sure. I mean, if you're interested, again, it's mostly for the trade. It's mostly for race directors, event organizers, but put Canadian Endurance Sports Alliance, into Google, and you'll get there. It's CESA, CESA for short. Reach out to me. You can find me on social media. I'm on Twitter at Steve Fleck, just my name, at Steve Fleck. Reach out to me there. That's a good spot to find me with either a direct message on Twitter or a note on Twitter. But really, what CESA's doing, Chris, and thanks for bringing the conversation back there, because we got off on a bit of a different topic. What we are doing with CESA, our initial sort of MO, our modus operandi is to lobby the federal government for both recognition and potentially funding, for the sector. We may not get individual funding for just endurance sports races and events, but we might be part of something else. We might be part of live events that gets, a bunch of money
Right.
and is dispersed like through sort of live events. So that is what we're doing. It's a lot of work. I've been, relentlessly on the phone, email. We've had meetings with over 60 sort of MPs across all party lines from coast to coast, a number of notable ministers, including, meetings within internally in the Minister of Finance's office. We haven't met with the minister herself, Chrystia Freeland, but we've met with one of her senior policy advisors just a couple of weeks ago, Adam Van Cuverden, who is the MP for Milton in Ontario. Adam has been super helpful. No surprise, former Olympic champion kayaker, world champion kayaker, and now a new MP. And Adam has been amazing, like really like super helpful, and taking our story internally, sort of within the government. He is the secretary to the Minister of Heritage, so he's an important sort of contact for us in Ottawa.
Yeah, and thanks for all the work you do for the industry. I know that you are a professional announcer for running events and triathlon and bike races as well. Is
Yes.
there anything else you
Yep.
do?
Yeah, it's running, cycling, triathlon, track and field would
Yeah.
be the sort of would be the subcategory.
Right. So, as a personal question, what does one do during a pandemic as a professional announcer?
Well, I had, as I hinted at earlier, Chris, all of my work was completely wiped out.
Right.
So if you went back to sort of April of last year, I mean, every week it was just cancellation after cancellation. I had an entire year of work and income eliminated. So my pivot, all of us have pivoted. You've had to pivot. We've all had to sort of, learn new things, learn new skills. My pivot really has been to, think about where speaking into a microphone can add value to a client. How can
Right.
that be? One of the things I've been doing, and I've been doing a lot of it, is emceeing virtually conferences. So these would be in-person live conferences that need a good host, a good MC to sort of drive things forward. And hosting a virtual event, Chris, is a little bit different than a live event. And I'm pulling on some of my former sort of radio and TV skills and live stream commentary skills, because you can't see the people. Like, it's just like working, you know, radio or TV. You can't see your audience. So you have to sort of, you know, think a little bit differently sort of about how you approach it. So I've been emceeing about one or two sort of conferences a month, and I'm starting to do more sort of live stream remote commentary. In fact, I'm working a couple events for Flow Bikes coming up in the next month. So I'm literally sitting in my home studio where you see me sitting right now.
Awesome.
And I'm doing the live commentary for a bike race that's happening, sort of a professional bike race that's happening over in Europe. I'm just looking at the monitor, calling the race from the monitor, and Flow Bike sort of stitches the sound in over top of the feed, and then that goes out to the Flow Bike subscribers across North America. So a little bit of income coming in new ways for me, and a bit of voiceover work as well. Strangely, I've done a few voiceover things for PSAs and other announcements for clients. So just trying to put two things together and make a quarter.
I know. I get it. You know, so we, you know, you talk about turning on a dime. We decided that we were going to go into the dog leash business. It's really tough with the studio lights to kind of show you our dog leashes. But yeah, we have these LED leashes that we designed for a race, and you know, they come in red, and they come in green, and they're LED, and they're great for walking your dog in the early morning and at night, because people can see you from half a mile away.
Yeah.
And it's about safety. And yeah, I mean, you gotta do what you can do to continue to keep the brand alive and keep working. I mean, that's what we do. So It is what it is. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Chris.
So great seeing you.
Great to see you back on the airwaves with Running Fat, and again, honored to be one of your first guests back.
And it's an honor having you, because I know that, you know, we've talked a number of times over the last year, and you know, we're just trying to keep the industry going. Just try to keep the industry going, folks. And thank everybody for their support. Have a great day, man. Good seeing you.
Good to see you.
That's Steve Fleck here on Running Flat Radio, and you know, it's sorry about that. It's so important that we as an industry keep together, keep talking about these issues, and you know, and giving you some insight of what's been going on over the last year and a half or so, and you know, it's just the way it is. We're gonna get through this. It's getting warmer. Love to see everybody out there running and walking and you know, keeping their endurance up. Like I said, I'm back at it. And over the next number of weeks, I think we'll also do some shows about what it means to get back, what it means to start over. And you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised at how much muscle memory there is and even in your lungs that you can actually kind of get back, and you're not doing as bad as you think you're going to do. And, you know, just I welcome that. So maybe we'll do that. We'll bring a couple docs on that we know a lot about running and physiology. Maybe we'll get our old friend Mary Brannigan on to talk about the issues with running injuries and some of the stuff you want to avoid as you're getting back, especially if you got some extra weight and you're pounding it on those knees and hips and ankles. So, you know what, guys, you know, without further ado, we're gonna take off. Hopefully next week we'll have Dean Karnazes on, or the next show, so we can talk about his new book. And, you know, and there's another guy who's getting older by the year, like the rest of us, but still manages to pull out 150 milers and 200 milers and doing just great work in the endurance industry. Don't forget that our Canada Day is open, and we welcome everyone to register for that. That is a virtual only, and you know what? It's going to be a great event. I promise we've got some really special kind of tech that we're dealing with right now that we're trying to develop with someone else, and where you can actually listen to a podcast while you're running the 5K, and at the same time hear some jokes, some announcements from famous Canadians, and you know, folks who are going to be cheering you on. So without further ado, you know, I wish you guys a great week, and keep running.